Our first reading this morning comes to us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 14 through 27. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of the wickedness and drink the wine of the violence. But the path of the righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. That is our first reading for today. I know one thing for sure, when you're swerving out there, you don't want to be swerving on gravel roads. I got a little bit too close to the edge, and it's just like, ooh, I need to get back in the middle here a little bit. My little car doesn't like gravel roads, but so do not swerve to the right or to the left. Just keep a straight path forward. All right, Paul's letter to the Romans is our next reading this morning, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That is our second reading. Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the book of John. There's a man who wants to get into the pool and is not able to get there. It's a pool of healing. An angel comes down occasionally, and the first one in the pool will be healed, but he just can never get there. And Jesus knows that, and so he comes to the rescue in today's reading in John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. In Hebrew it means Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up and take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "Well, the man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Well, who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a large crowd in place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." That is our gospel reading. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Happy Sunday, everybody. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day." And Jesus says he too is working, healing people. Healing is not just something that's done 6 days a week. Healing is happening all the time. And God is at work in each of our lives every day. Why? Because we are his children. He knows our needs. He understands our hurts, our feelings, our desires, our whereabouts, our thoughts. He knows what we're doing wrong, and he knows what we're doing right. He knows our sinful acts and our pure acts, and he's always there willing to help us. There's this neat story that was recorded in the Gospel Herald. It happened in World War I. An officer in the First World War gave this account of God's willingness and ability to save men from shot and shell when they pray. A German machine gun crew had their gun trained on an angle of the trenches where the troops frequently passed back and forth, and the casualties were many. As a last resort, volunteers were called to storm the gun in the open. 15 men volunteered. They themselves could see at a glance that most, if not all of them, must die. Even if they succeeded in silencing the gun, they would scarcely escape the hail of lead that would follow them back to their lines. The young officer appointed to lead them, a friend of the one reporting the incident, before going over, address the volunteers as follows. Men, I am a Christian. Before every undertaking, I pray. Those of you who are willing, kneel with me and pray about this one. Then he took off his helmet, knelt down, and prayed, asking God to spare their lives, but if any must go, that their souls might be saved. When the officer rose from his kneeling position, he noted that every man had knelt and placed their helmet on the ground in front of them. Then they climbed out of the trenches and raced towards the German machine gun nest while a hail of lead and steel flew above their heads. They overcame the machine gun crew, tore up the gun, and took it with them as they ran back to their trenches. All of the men returned, and not one of them suffered a wound. To the men looking and watching, it was a miracle indeed. None of them will ever say that the day of miracles is over. God has not withdrawn his exceeding great and precious promises. That's quite a stunning story. Basically, 15 people volunteered, basically to their death. They knew they were probably going to die, but they had the grace of God upon them. They had God looking over them, and they were successful in their mission. God is the same then as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. He addresses his disciples. He says in Luke 11:9, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. It doesn't make any difference whether we ask, seek, or knock, because God is always with us in person, in the spirit, and inside each one of us. But we have to go through the process. God likes it and he loves it when we go to him, asking him, seeking him, knocking at the door. His hours are not 9 to 5. He's not closed on holidays. You don't get a busy signal when you talk to him. He's always available. Reach out to him and be totally sincere and have total faith in Jesus Christ and in our God and through the Holy Spirit. Throughout Jesus' ministry, many people had great faith and were healed by the faith that they had. It is true that there were 3 feasts that all male Jews had to attend. And this was particularly one of them. They went to this sheep gate at a pool, which is called Bethesda. And Bethesda actually means place of outpouring, or house of grace, or house of mercy. Now, according to scripture, at that pool there, an angel went down from a certain time into the pool and stirred it up. He stirred up the water. And whoever then stepped first into the pool would be healed. It's interesting to note that John mentioned only 3 physical conditions that they had. Blind. If somebody's blind, they're going to have a tough time getting into the pool unless somebody's there to help them. If they're lame, they probably have difficult moving about. If you just can't get there, you need... Basically, what he's saying is that these people needed help getting into the pool. They can't do it on themselves. They have to rely upon other people. And so Jesus comes into the picture, realizing, he says, hey, do you want to be healed? Well, it's interesting. The man didn't say yes. He just said, well, I have tried to get in there, but nobody's there to help me. And every time I try to get in there, somebody steps in front of me and gets into the pool before me, and I can't get in. Basically, crying, he can't get there. But we don't need a pool to be healed. He knows that this man did not go into the pool to be healed. Jesus came into the picture and said, take up your bed and leave. You can walk. And the man was healed. And this is one of many scripture lessons about where somebody has been healed through Jesus Christ. Remember the leper in Matthew 8, 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? The man made the first move and demonstrated his faith in Jesus Christ by coming to him and asking him to be cleaned. The leper knew he could not cure himself, but he knew Jesus could cure him. He knew Jesus could cure him. That's the faith. And this event occurred when Jesus came down from the teaching session on the mountain, and the healing took place right at the foot of the mountain, and he was cured. Then there's the centurion's servant in Matthew 8, 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at the home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. The centurion did not want Jesus to go with him to where the servant laid, but instead just to speak the word that his request had been fulfilled. He just asked Jesus, just say the word and I know it will be done. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And this healing took place in Capernaum. Then you have Peter's mother-in-law. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. The woman's faith was so strong that the touch of the master caused her fever to leave instantly. Oh, I wish that would happen sometimes when our kids are growing up and the kids have fever. Oh, you struggle with them. But she had the faith to say, her faith, her fever just grew, just disappeared. I wish it would happen that fast sometimes. This event took place in Peter's house. In Matthew 8, 16, there is the sick in the evening. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. People did not want to be sick and did not want to see other people sick. Those who had no sickness brought those who were sick into the presence of Jesus. He did not turn anybody away, but instead drove out the evil spirits responsible for their sickness. And these healings appeared to have taken place at Peter's house. You talk about prayer, you talk about communicating with God, you talk about reaching out to Him. Our prayers are just as strong as His prayers. Our prayers carry the same healing power as did His prayers, but sometimes we pray, but do not pray in faith. There really is this emphasis of really, Jesus talks about, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, what can you do with it? Wow, he could turn that mountain upside down. You could do amazing things. Totally believing in Jesus Christ. Total belief is what we need. The problem we have as human beings is that while we do believe that, in the back of my mind is a little bit of doubt. And we struggle with that. We struggle with that doubt because we think that God can do this, but it's probably not going to happen. So we have that doubt that we grapple with in our minds. Jesus says, you can be healed and you will be healed. Reaching out to Jesus is something we need to do each and every day. We don't need to go to the pool of Bethesda where people went to be healed to have our sicknesses healed. Sickness takes on various attitudes. You know, you have the mental, you have the physical, and even maybe spiritual sickness. Whatever it might be, Reach out to Jesus, and he'll reach out to you. Because Jesus wants to reach out to us at all times. This man who was sick, he was healed. Many of these other people were healed. As Christians, we know in our heart that help is always available. No matter what, just believe. I know I always say in my mind that I'm going to live to be 100 some years old. And in my mind, I believe I'm going to be 100 some years old, whether, you know, if God allows that to happen. And last week, somebody mentioned that one of the pastors, I don't know if he's coming here, but there's a pastor out there who's 95 years old.
Pastor Hughlin, I'm not sure if he's 92 or 95, but he's up there, and yes, he's planning to come.
Yeah.
And he also serves two churches.
Yeah, so that gave me insight. When I heard that, I said, he 95, I can do 100, he can do 95. You're stuck with me for a while. But there again, you know, you got to have that belief in Jesus Christ and strong belief. And you keep telling yourself that it will be done and ask God to help you with it. It will be done. I mean, there are instances in my life where I really prayed to God and he answers my prayers. He can answer your prayers as well. I want to read from you the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. These are some really powerful words that he talks about here. He says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up." Whatever our problem, whatever our situation is, help is available. And as it says in John 5:17, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I, too, am working." Isn't it great to have a God who is so caring for us? A God who sent his Son to be that atoning Savior for us? Because we can't save ourselves. We need somebody there to do that for us. And Jesus Christ took the entire world's sins up on his shoulders, up on the cross for us. He sacrificed his life for us. And Jesus is saying to us, "Come. Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And I know one thing, we need rest. Not only spiritually, but physically as well. Realize inside each one of you, every one of you, the Holy Spirit is residing in your heart. Are you reaching in to him? Are you reaching into the Spirit? Are you reaching into that power that's there inside of you? Say, "God, I need strength." The Spirit will answer. Jesus Christ will give you the wisdom that you need. The Father is there saying, "Hey, I care for you because you are all my children." Many of us here are parents who have children. And as we raise our children, don't we have a sense of loving and caring for them and extreme love for them? God the Father is the same way for us. I know we might be thinking, "Well, yeah, but I'm 80 or 90 or 70 years old, whatever." You're still a child. You're a child of God. And God wants to take care of you. Pray. Reach out to him. The message is simple. It's nothing complicated. God is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Amen. May the grace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the true Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.